lines of credit, and other unsecured debts which have been fraudulently created by the banks. We can terminate your unsecured debt within 18 months with a much lower monthly payment, ending with nothing on your credit report. Join the thousands of Americans who now breathe with a sigh of relief because they have legally eliminated their debt. Instead of living each day in fear.
Broadcasting to the U.S. and around the world by way of Clear Digital Audio. 22,500 miles above the planet. This is the Global Star Radio Network.
Dr. Stan here at the Genesis Communication Network, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and hopefully for the next hour they're going to be the views of William Grigg. William, are you there? All right, fine. Well, you might look up his telephone number there. You should have it. If not, well, we'll get it for you during the break. But William is going to be talking, I'm sure, about really what's happening financially here in the United States, as we see the price of oil really skyrocketing. It hit well over $135, $136 a gallon today. Did back off quite a bit down to, I think, $131 a gallon. But I see no reason why it's not going to continue going up. Not that it's necessary, not that there's a shortage of oil, but we have an oil cartel, and nobody in Washington, D.C. wants to talk about that. We have five major oil companies that certainly dominate the market here in the United States and in Europe, and that is British Petroleum, tied into the royal family of Great Britain, the Royal Dutch Shell, tied into the monarchy of the Netherlands. Then we have, of course, Exxon and Chevron, tied into the monarchy here in the United States, the Rockefellers, who control the oil industry here for well over a century. And then, of course, we've got Conoco, and there are a few smaller companies, but these are the major ones, and you play ball with them or you are in real trouble. And, of course, if you try to go out as a wildcatter and you know, put in oil wells, they'll come after you. They'll make your life miserable. They'll get the environmentalists to go after you. There'll be all sorts of problems, you know, with your rig. There'll be union problems. Or certainly they'll drop the price down. If they can't catch it that way, they will drop the price down so low that you're going to go bankrupt. You can't sell your oil. You can't get it out of the ground. You probably borrowed money to do what you're doing in the wildcatting. And once they've destroyed you, then they'll run the price back up again. That's how the game is really played. And if you saw the rather pathetic presentation there before the Senate, I guess it was just yesterday, when the oil company executives were saying, well, it's not our fault. I mean, we're not profiting over this. I mean, everything we buy is more expensive. And then they said, but you made more money than you've ever made in all of history. What do you mean you're not profiting by it? Well, that's not our fault. I mean, the profitability is not our problem, you know. Well, of course, it's their problem. They're basically part of an agenda. And that agenda is to keep running the price of oil up till eventually the American people are going to be forced out of their cars. The farmers are going to be forced to actually cut back on their production because they're not going to be able to get their corn and wheat and other crops up sufficiently to meet their expenses, especially with the price of seeds and of fertilizer going up. And then, of course, they're going to destroy our airlines. But you must understand that what you were seeing is a long-range plan to destroy the infrastructure of the United States, because the people who are involved have no loyalty to our country. Their real agenda, of course, is the establishment of a world government, a one world religion and a new world leader. When you understand that, so many of the things that just don't make sense begin to make sense. Why we went into Afghanistan to capture Osama bin Laden, and when he escaped, we just kept fighting Osama bin Laden. We've been there for almost 7 years. We've been in Iraq for 5 years, fighting a no-win war. We're not allowed to win. Our boys are not allowed. I mean, where do you think the sophisticated, you know, gadgetry, electronics for the roadside explosive devices came from? Why, it came from the United States. And just accidentally was sold to some Arab country, and just accidentally it ended up there in Iraq. And just General Petraeus accidentally lost 200,000 rifles and pistols, just accidentally. I want you to know that we are just so incompetent, I don't know how we survive. And if we don't understand what's going on, we're not going to survive very long.
Are terrorist cells or prime terror targets located near you? Where are military bases and hazardous waste sites located? How do you find the best area for solar, average rainfalls, fish contamination advisories, and major transportation routes? In the new interactive CD book, Prudent Places USA, you will find the information you want with over 50 interactive parameters that you control. Find everything from housing prices and taxes to brewing environmental catastrophes. Locate billion-dollar disaster-prone areas, the safest cities, ideal solar locations, and much, much more. Complete with over 3 gigabytes of detailed information on each of the 3,000-plus counties in the U.S., including 550 high-resolution, full-color maps and full-color photographs, as well as detailed information and analysis that you need. Get this hard-to-find information by ordering Prudent Places USA now for only $29 plus shipping and handling by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438 or order on the web at BerkeyWater.com.
More than 700 chemicals have been found in our drinking water. And did you know that you have greater exposure to these chemicals while taking hot showers than when drinking the water? That's because many chemicals are inhaled when they evaporate and others are absorbed into the skin. The KDF Dual Media Shower Filter works with both hot and cold water, and it's designed to reduce chlorine, lead, mercury, and iron, and it inhibits the growth of bacteria, mold, algae, and fungus. The KDF Dual Media Shower Filter typically lasts 10,000 gallons or 1 year, whichever comes first. Hospitals, restaurants, and water treatment facilities use this media to reduce chlorine, iron, heavy metals, and bacteria. What about you? Order your KDF Shower Filter normally, $49, for our special price of only $39.99 with free shipping. Call the Berkey Guy and order now by calling 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or simply click on the banner at gcnlive.com to order online now.
Fact: rapid industrialization has resulted in environmental pollution, and its curse on world health is staggering. We live in a toxic world that is bombarded by 7 new chemicals each day. The human body is amazing and efficient in design, but because of the polluted world in which we live, is unable to remove all toxins. The solution: detoxification integrated with Electro Qi Premier Energy Foot Spa. The Electro Qi Premier Energy Foot Spa helps to aid in cleansing the body of harmful toxins while energizing and oxygenating your entire body at the cellular level. Detoxification works with the Electro Qi Premier Energy Foot Spa because it addresses the needs of individual cells, the building blocks of human life. For mental clarity, restored vitality, a stronger immune system, clear skin, and health in every aspect of your being, order your Electro Qi Premier Energy Foot Spa by visiting NutraMedical.com or call Dr. William Deagle at 888-212-8871, 888-212-8871.
Well, Dr. Stan back here at the Genesis Communication Network, and fortunately we have our good friend William Grigg with us. William was the senior editor of the New American Magazine for many years, and now of course he's writing on his own, and he's doing programs for the Welch Foundation, and fortunately we get him here at Radio Liberty a couple of times a week. William, how are you this afternoon?
Dr. Stan, I'm doing very well. Thanks for having me on again.
Well, tell us what you'd like to talk about today.
I think that the most important thing we can talk about right now is a legal victory down in Texas for parental rights. The Court of Appeals for the 3rd District in Austin in Texas has effectively nullified any colorable legal argument on behalf of the Texas Department of Child Protective Services for their seizure of more than 450 children who were living in a community run by the Fundamentalist Church of Latter-day Saints. This happened, of course, several weeks ago. More than 450 children were seized as a result of what has to be considered a patently and transparently illegal search. The warrant on served as the basis of the search in early April of this year was based on a series of anonymous phone calls made by somebody professing to be a 16-year-old child bride in this polygamous community. This community, of course, is dominated by a church that is an offshoot of the Mormon church. They still practice polygamy, although the mainline LDS church no longer does. And it has been the custom for the members of this church, the male lay members of that church, that is, to enter into polygamous relations with at least three women on the assumption that doing so brings them closer to exaltation in the next life. And this community was set up a number of years ago in Texas because the laws in the state of Texas seemed to be more congenial to the lifestyle of this particular religious sect. It was permissible, for instance, to have common law marriages with women as young as 14 years of age at the time that they moved to Texas in 2004 with the consent of the parents of the young woman. And that law was changed after the sect relocated to Texas. It was changed at the initiative of the member of the state legislature who represents the district in which El Dorado, Texas, is found. And he did this with the specific intention of outlawing the marriage practices, or the supposed, presumed marriage practices of this Mormon sect. Well, this search, which took place in early April, was done pursuant to a number of phone calls made to an alienated former member of this sect who runs a hotline for people who want to get out of that religion. And the young lady professed to be a 16-year-old who became pregnant at age 15, which is against the law in Texas, obviously, under the revised law, which was passed in, I believe, 2006. And she said that her husband was a 49-year-old polygamous man, and I use the word husband here in quotes because I don't believe that that would be a legitimate marriage, but she said that this 49-year-old man who had impregnated her at age 15 had routinely beat her and otherwise abused her. Turns out that this so-called 16-year-old child bride was actually a 33-year-old childless woman living in Colorado City, not Colorado City, that's in Utah, Colorado Springs, Colorado. And she had a history of making, I believe it was over 10,000 phone calls, I found out today. She'd made something like 10,000 prank phone calls to law enforcement agencies all across the country. And it was known at the time of the search that the individual that was being pursued by the Child Protection Services and law enforcement, fellow by the name of Dale Barlow, was not on the premises. It was known that he was in Arizona. He had been convicted of a sexual offense involving an underage polygamous so-called wife. He was under the constant supervision of his parole officer, his probation officer, rather, in Arizona. Law enforcement was aware that he was not on the property, so there was no reason to go in after him. There were no exigent circumstances that justified going in after him. That element of the warrant was invalid. They also learned, law enforcement and CPS, shortly after that search, that the phone calls had been made by this 33-year-old woman by the name of Rosita Swinton, and yet they pursued a plan which had been laid out, I believe, probably no later than early this year, weeks in advance of the raid, to go in and seize the children on the pretext that they had to remove them from this abusive environment, in spite of the fact that they didn't have an abuser or a victim on the premises. And this was done over the course of several weeks. 450 children, including many people who had nothing to do with anybody who had been suspected of any kind of child abuse, were taken out and put in a series of detention facilities that healthcare professionals, objective third-party healthcare professionals, said were utterly squalid and unfit for human occupation. They were compared to concentration camps. And then, pursuant to a court order, these children were taken off to foster care destinations hundreds of miles away from their home in El Dorado, Texas. And that's where they remain to this day. Well, today the 3rd District Court of Appeals in Austin for Texas has, I think, basically validated the obvious, which is that the CPS had no probable cause to conduct that search. They had no colorable claim that abuse existed in that facility. They had no legal justification for seizing the children. And this was done, this decision was handed down in response to a petition for a writ of mandamus that was filed on behalf of 38 mothers whose children had been seized from them by CPS. And a writ of mandamus is a court order issued by a judge compelling an agency or an official to carry out a certain course of action. And the specific course of action that the petitioners in this case wanted was for the CPS to release the children. The problem here is that the judge who handed down this decision, the court that handed down this decision, said that the petitioners were entirely correct. The CPS had overstepped its authority, or to use the expression from the decision, abused its discretion by seizing these kids. They said that there was not a single particle of evidence that anybody had suffered abuse in this community, apart from the fact that the CPS finds the religious beliefs of this community to be unacceptable, and that this pervasive pattern of belief in polygamy was in and of itself a form of abuse, which of course is not acceptable logic, because you cannot prosecute somebody on the basis of a belief. You have to have an overt action in order to justify some kind of a criminal action, or to justify, in this case, the seizure of a child. And that would, of course, entail some kind of civil or criminal penalty against the parent who's considered an abuser here. It's a venerable principle of the law that the law deals with the exterior acts, not with the inner life of man. Whatever you think of the beliefs of the FLDS community, I don't happen to esteem them in any way, but whatever you think of those beliefs, they don't fall within the jurisdiction of the government, at least the government as defined by our Constitution, the Constitution of the State of Texas and its subsidiaries. And so the court upheld the petitioner's claim by saying that the CPS was completely in the wrong from a legal point of view, but it didn't order the CPS to return the children. Instead, it gave a 10-day deadline to the district court, Judge Barbara Walther, who issued the initial ruling that sent the kids into foster care, to review and to revise the decision. And in the meantime, of course, CPS is going to do what it can to seek a stay or to appeal the decision or otherwise to draw out this period of time where these children have been separated by criminal violence carried out by the state. The parents have been separated by their children, and the children are in the plenary control of the CPS. And so it's a legal victory, but it's something of a pyrrhic or an empty victory, because to the extent that the kids remain in the hands of the kidnappers, no positive good is going to result from this, apart from the fact that you have a court now on record confirming everything the critics like myself have said about this action, to wit, that it is entirely criminal. It is completely unjustified, utterly unconstitutional. There was no reason to do what they did. There is no reason to keep those kids in the hands of the state. It's useful to get that matter on the record here as a matter of settled judicial law, if you will. But until something happens to return those kids to their parents, once again, it's something of a bittersweet victory at the very best.
Well, I certainly agree with you, and I really, of course, until government officials can be held liable and criminally liable and financially liable for malfeasance, nothing is going to change, because of what will happen. Well, maybe down the line the children will be released after being psychologically and perhaps even physically abused, and the government officials, nothing ever happens to them. Government officials have to be held as responsible to the law as each one of us does.
Yeah. Well, the problem is there's this doctrine of functional immunity that attaches to people who are carrying out matters of public policy, and it goes by different names in different jurisdictions. But the principle here is a subsidiary of this completely abhorrent concept of called sovereign immunity, in which the government will only concede to be held liable in court if it agrees to be held liable in court. It's basically a holdover, a remnant, a vestigial remnant of royal privilege, something that's completely incompatible with Republican, small-r Republican institutions. But sovereign immunity dictates that if somebody is carrying out the interests of the public as defined by the entity of government for which he works, he's effectively shielded from any kind of liability, and that's something that has to be done away with, particularly if you're talking about people within the bureaucracy, because elected officials can be voted out of office. They can be impeached. Some appointed officials can be impeached. But if you're a member of a bureaucracy, if there is no civil or criminal liability to your actions that are abusive, then you're pretty much above and beyond accountability in the mortal realm, and that's simply unhealthy, particularly when you understand the vast size of the bureaucracy that we're dealing with and the unfathomable powers that it can exercise, particularly when you're talking about the so-called Child Protective Services, which has the power, not the authority, but the power, to take from us the one thing without which we cannot live, and that is our children.
Well, I really think that the American people have to really do something. That we need to have a candidate, you know, certainly in the presidency. We need to have a cabinet that believes in individual freedom. We need to have congressmen who are willing, of course, to repeal the laws which exist today, where actually the government provides money to the Child Protection Agency as a reward for stealing children and destroying their lives.
Exactly.
That is untenable. And, of course, until people understand that there's a great deal of money that's involved in this, and the federal government is actually encouraging the CPS in the name of course, helping children to destroy their lives, which in many instances helps. I'm sure there may be a rare instance where a parent is not taking good care of their children. But certainly when you have a bureaucracy that wants to grow, it grows when it has more money, and it will abuse its power because power corrupts, and absolute power corrupts absolutely. It corrupts absolutely everyone. We'll be right back in just a moment here at Genesis with our good friend William Grigg.
Some people believe a group of wealthy men control political parties, the American media, and the wealth of our nation. Is this true? Dr. Stanley Monteith spent 40 years studying secret societies and subversive movements. He lived in Africa for 3 years, and when he returned home, he studied the writings of the men who shaped the modern world. His book, Brotherhood of Darkness, identifies the people who control the world and the organizations they created. Dr. Monteith exposes the movement behind Rhodes Scholarships, the origin of the Council on Foreign Relations, and the myths surrounding communism. He discusses the goal of all covert organizations, so if you read Brotherhood of Darkness, you will learn a secret that has been passed down through the centuries. When you learn this secret, you will understand what the future holds and what you must do to help preserve our nation. Call and order your copy. 877-300-7645. Only $12.95. That's 877-300-7695.
Hi, John Huebner from Midas Resources. Are you tired of watching your hard-earned assets dwindle away? As government spending is out of hand and the Federal Reserve is creating in excess of $20 billion a week, are you tired of stockbrokers gambling away your hard-earned money? Is this market a setup for a crash greater than 1987? Too many of today's policies resemble those that led to the collapse of 1929. How much are you willing to lose? Take action now. Call me at 1-800-686-2237, extension 129. I believe that we are facing a financial catastrophe of biblical proportion. Over recent decades, numerous economic systems have failed. Current Federal Reserve policy and uncontrolled government spending have set the stage for the United States to be the next target. Secure your assets today by calling 1-800-686-2237, extension 129. Do this while paper can still buy gold. Call me, John Huebner, at 1-800-686-2237, extension 129.
Terrorism, chemical attacks, dirty bombs, fallout, biological attack, anthrax, and to top it all off, duct tape and plastic. Alarming words for our time. But how do you protect your family during such a crisis? The video sheltering in place, surviving acts of terrorism from biological, chemical, and radioactive fallout was developed by Wayne LeBaron, a health physicist who has served as a specialist in environmental health, communicable diseases, and has worked as a nuclear specialist for the U.S. government. Anyone can follow the simple instructions. It's presented by a housewife as they walk you step by step through the process of preparing your home as a shelter. If you're not the type who waits till it's too late, then you need the video sheltering in place. Get the critical information you need now for only $29 plus shipping by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438 and tell them Alex Jones sent you. That's 888-803-4438 or order on the web at murkywater.com.
Wake up, Protestant America. There is an ecumenical movement now being planned to join church and state. This confederation of evangelicals, Catholics, and Protestant denominations will form one huge political voting bloc. Their agenda is enforcement of religious worship and morality by legislation. Our forefathers wrote the Bill of Rights to guarantee all Americans this freedom, liberty of conscience. History and the Bible prove to them that these two systems, church and state, must be kept separate. It must be our love of God and of country that prompts or constrains us. This will change the character character, not civil enforcement. From history, we saw that when church and state united, known as Papal Rome, religious intolerance resulted. This union would go directly contrary to the great principles of our nation. America and Papal Rome are uniting in this agenda. Protestant America, awake before it is too late. The prophecies are fast fulfilling. Jesus is coming soon. For free materials, call 888-211-1715 or write The Bible Says, Box 99, Lenoir City, Tennessee, 37771.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here at the Genesis Communication Network, our guest is William Grigg, and certainly it was encouraging to see that the appeals court in Texas had actually reversed the decision and said it was wrong, but of course the children are still imprisoned and being held within these foster care systems. They're really being treated as if they were somehow criminals. The people who are going to suffer the most are the children. The Child Abuse Agency isn't interested in helping children. It's interested in power. And this is really a frightening thing, especially when it's in the hands of irresponsible government bureaucrats, or would they be referred to as petty bureaucrats, those type who just love to, of course, exert their power and intimidate others. So go right ahead, William.
Well, you're exactly right about that, Dr. Stan, and I think it's interesting and by no means coincidental that just yesterday, while most of the FLDS parents, the mothers, of course, but also most of the fathers, were in court hearings most of the day and most of the afternoon, a CPS contingent went out to the ranch, and in anticipation of it being left unguarded and open, they were going to go in and search some more, presumably to find more evidence. They said that they had received information from a confidential informant that there were children that they had not yet rounded up, that there were a number of children. They said there were five children still on the premises, including one who suffered from Down syndrome. And they were going to go out there and seize the others. And thank heavens for cell phones, a number of the FLDS parents hightailed it back to their property and then went in and closed the gate behind them so that when the CPS official and deputy sheriff showed up, the FLDS representative, a fellow by the name of Willie Jessup, said, well, if you don't have a search warrant, we're not letting you on your property. And the news media was alerted to this, and a number of reporters showed up, and according to one account I read, This little commissarina from the Child Protective Service was shaking her finger in this guy's face trying to get him to back down on the assumption that because of the supposed authority vested in her as a child snatcher, he simply had to relent. And what he told her was, if you have the paperwork, we'll let you in. If you have a valid warrant, you can come in. And if you decide to come in again with heavy armor, with the paramilitary SWAT team, with an armored personnel carrier and snipers and the entire and all the appurtenances thereof, I can't stop you, but unless you have a search warrant, I'm not simply letting you into the property. And, of course, the news media followed up on this. Every once in a while, people who work for the media will actually do some reporting, and one of the questions asked of Marlee Meisner, who's the chief spokesliar for the Texas Department of Family and Protective Services, asked them about the absence of a search warrant. What she said is, well, we usually don't use a search warrant, because we're talking about a civil agency here rather than a criminal one, which, of course, is nonsense, because any time the government comes into your property for the purpose of taking something from you, it has to have a search warrant specifying a specific place to be searched, specific items or people to be searched for. They didn't have a search warrant that justified the seizure of all the kids from the ranch. They didn't have a search warrant that justified them searching every house and every facility at the FLDS Yearning for Zion Ranch. But that's what they did anyhow in the first search that resulted in the abduction of these children. But they didn't have a search warrant of any kind yesterday, and I believe what happened is that they thought they could steal a march on the FLDS and maybe find a few children who were there visiting. After all, these people have relatives and family in Utah and in Arizona and elsewhere. What I understand is that there might be some children who are visiting who are not part of that community who could very well have been abducted yesterday by CPS had it not been for the fact that there were people present who could ask for the proper paperwork. But this idea that the CPS doesn't use a warrant is really a good illustration of a principle that not many people appreciate, and that is that the whole so-called family law system, of which the CPS is the most ominous enforcement arm, it doesn't operate as a criminal court. It operates as what is called a court of equity. There's a wonderful book, and I don't know if you carry this, Dr. Stan, but you should look into it. It's called Taken into Custody, The War Against Fathers, Marriage, and the Family by Stephen Baskerville.
Yes, we actually interviewed him. We don't carry the book, but we did interview him. He's a very, very good interview.
Yeah, he's probably, I think, the leading authority on this subject. And what he points out in his book is that family courts, and I'm quoting now from his book, family courts are without question the arm of the state most that routinely reaches furthest into the private lives of individuals and families. And he goes on to explain that family courts describe themselves as courts of equity, or more pretentiously, chancery rather than law. Strikingly, they do not consider themselves necessarily bound by due process of law, including the Bill of Rights, nor are the rules of evidence as stringent as in criminal courts. As one father reports being told by the chief investigator for the administrator of the courts of New Jersey, investigating a complaint of judicial wrongdoing, in that quote, the provisions of the U.S. Constitution do not apply in domestic relations cases, since these are determined in a court of equity rather than a court of law. And, of course, Baskerville's book deals almost exclusively with the issue of divorce and child custody matters. And
hold that thought. We'll be right back in just a moment.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Do you know where the 78 potentially active volcanoes in U.S. are located? And do you know the locations of the top 300 prime terrorist targets? You can find these answers and more in the new interactive CD book, Prudent Places USA. With the more than 50 interactive parameters, you can pinpoint natural and man-made disaster areas, brewing environmental catastrophes, the safest cities, the best places for solar and wind energy, and much, much more. Complete with 3 gigabytes of detailed information on each of 3,000 plus counties in the U.S., including 550 high-resolution full-color maps and full-color photographs, as well as detailed information and analysis to help you zero in on the best places to live, the ideal location for cabins and vacation homes, as well as safe and unsafe areas. Get Prudent Places USA for only $29 plus shipping by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438. That's 888-803-4438 to order on the web or at BerkeyWater.com.
Another untold story, here it comes. Another untold story, here it comes. Another untold story that you've not been told from. AnotherUntoldStory.com.
There does seem to be food for different parts of the body and body health. For example, a sliced carrot looks like the human eye. The pupil, iris, and radiating lines look just like the human eye, and science now shows that carrots greatly enhance blood flow to and function of the eyes. A tomato has 4 chambers and is red. The heart is red and has 4 chambers. Research now shows tomatoes are indeed pure blood and heart food. A walnut looks like a little brain, a left and right hemisphere. We now know that walnuts help develop over 3 dozen neuron transmitters for brain function. Kidney beans actually heal and help maintain kidney function, and they look just like human kidneys. Celery and rhubarb look like bones. These foods specifically target bone strength. Bones are 23% sodium. These foods are 23% sodium. Sweet potatoes look like the pancreas and actually balance the glycemic index of diabetics. There's more on the food list, but there is a miracle food that most have never heard of. A soul food and drink, you might say, that will miraculously help every part of the body. No one is being told about it, but we tell about these foods and about it at AnotherUntoldStory.com.
For another untold story, go to AnotherUntoldStory.com. 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 AnotherUntoldStory.com.
Well, Dr. Stan back here at the Genesis Communication Network. Our guest, of course, is William Grigg. And before we go on, William, I want you to tell our listeners how they can get to your blog site.
The easiest way to get to the blog site would be to go to the homepage of the Welch Foundation, which is called The Right Source. The web address for that is rightsourceonline.com, one word, rightsourceonline.com. And if you look at the top of that homepage, you'll see a banner ad for my new book, which is called Liberty in Eclipse, The War on Terror and the Rise of the Homeland Security State. And then if you scroll down the page, look at the left-hand side of the screen, you'll find my photograph, and there'll be a hyperlink which will take you to my blog, Pro Libertate. I try to update that between 3 and 5 times a week. It's not simply a notebook or a diary in the fashion of most blogs on the Internet. It is, well, as pretentious as it might seem to say this, I intend my blog to be sort of an exercise in ongoing investigative polemics. I try to write a fully researched and fully sourced investigative opinion column between 3 and 5 times a week, depending upon the severity of my schedule. And almost everything I write, there have been a couple of exceptions when I've written about topics like astronomy or mixed martial arts or other things that I find interesting that are non-political. Almost everything I write deals with the ongoing and ubiquitous and ever escalating war on individual liberty and individual human dignity. And so it tends to be rather negative. People ask me if I ever write about anything positive, and every once in a while I do. Just last week, for instance, I had the opportunity to write about a number of cases, and one in particular of people who have been exonerated after spending altogether too long. Any time behind bars is too long when you're innocent, but these are men who spent decades, in many instances, for crimes they didn't commit. They've been railroaded into prison. We have the world's largest prison population in absolute terms in this country. They've been railroaded into prison by ambitious prosecutors and indifferent juries when they were materially innocent. And it's great to see that these men are being vindicated and exonerated at long last, but it's terrible to see these men have decades of their lives stolen from them, in many instances at the expense of their families and associations with their loved ones. That was as close to positive as I've been able to get recently, because most of the positive news, unfortunately, usually has something of a negative background. But Pro Libertate, as I mentioned, is intended to be an exercise in talking about this ongoing assault on individual freedom. Another way to get to that blog is to go directly to it by typing in freedominourtime.blogspot.com. Once again, freedominourtime.blogspot.com will take you right to Pro Libertate. And I've been writing a great deal about this case in Texas involving the fundamentalist LDS Church, because I have never before seen, and I don't know if we can find in the history of American citizens anyhow in this country, a case where you've seen the seizure of hundreds of children, summary abduction of hundreds of children by a government agency on the basis of allegations of abuse rooted in the beliefs of the parents. You can find instances of that sort, unfortunately, in the history of the government's dealing with various Indian communities in this country. I can think of plenty of examples where the children of the Sioux or the Navajo, or, of course, many of the Indian tribes that were driven west from the Floridas in the Trail of Tears, when those children were taken at gunpoint from their parents and then put into institutional settings to be raised in ways that were deemed more appropriate by the government. But to the best of my knowledge, we've never seen this being done to American citizens before. I've long said that if you want a foreshadowing of what a police state in this country would be like in terms of the consummate violation of individual rights and the summary injustice being handed out by people who don't make any claims rooted in laws, people would understand them. Take a look at the treatment of the American Indians and then extrapolate from that history into the future with the rest of us being on the receiving end of that treatment. And that's what we're seeing here in Texas, here in this case in El Dorado, where a group of people whose doctrines and practices, quite frankly, strike me as repellent. They're a religious community rooted in a heresy. That heresy is that a woman's salvation depends upon her husband. Her husband essentially is her God in the FLDS theology. And that's not all that far removed, quite frankly, from mainstream Mormon theology, though it's not practiced in the mainstream church quite to the extent that it is the FLDS church today. So I don't have any sympathy for the theology, and I don't have a whole lot of sympathy for the way that they've organized themselves as a culture. But the fact that they believe in aberrant theology, and they practice these aberrant theologies in ways that I find unappealing, doesn't mean that they're committing crimes. It certainly doesn't mean that they're committing child abuse. the children there, to the extent that we've had any exposure to them, and we've been able to read the accounts of healthcare workers who dealt with them, seem to be bright and healthy and very socially well-adjusted. The healthcare workers who described the conditions of the temporary detention facilities there as being akin to concentration camps talked about how the children are all very healthy and active. They're very attentive when talking to people. They are very outgoing when dealing with strangers. They're obviously very well loved and esteemed and very comfortable and secure in their environment. If you take a look at the photographs of them, none of them is obese. They're all very active. Their preferred play and recreational activities are all energetic. They don't involve sitting down with an Xbox or a Game Boy or sitting in front of a television. They prefer active play. They prefer active work. In other words, they're living more or less the way our ancestors lived a century or more ago. And there's nothing about that that would strike a reasonable person as being abusive. And this is the, I think, most lurid example of how this child protection racket operates. You mentioned the fact, Dr. Stan, that there's a lot of money involved, that the federal government has these lucrative subsidies that underwrite not only the CPS directly, but also the foster care system. And you're talking about increments of tens of thousands of dollars that are used basically as a bounty for children who are brought into the system. I find it very arresting that D. Bruce Perry, or I think it's Bruce D. Perry, the psychologist who was one of the expert witnesses for the CPS during the status hearing last, I believe it was April 19th, admitted as a matter of sworn testimony in open court that taking these FLDS children out of their environment and putting them into the state-run foster care system in Texas was certain to create problems for them, that they would almost certainly have bad effects and bad experiences in the foster care system. He wasn't talking about some of the worst things that could happen. Just a matter of 4 or 5 years ago, an official inquiry into that foster care system found that children in that system were, I think, 4 times more likely to suffer some kind of violent death than children outside that system. You had an epidemic of sexual abuse and molestation of children in the Texas foster care system involving victims as young as 3 years of age. This is going on, of course, at a time when the Texas CPS was grabbing kids from families and putting them into the system, but never to the extent that you had 450 or more taken from families and put into that system. The thing that's happening right now over the last week is that the CPS has been building what they call parenting plans for the mothers and often for the fathers, because we should point out that although the FLDS church practices polygamy, not all members of that church are polygamists. Many of the people in that community were monogamous. They were living in discrete dwellings away from the communal living facilities there. They had a situation where you had one wife and one husband and a number of children, and they were often within a few years of age of each other. Many of the couples were pretty much standard-issue American religious couples. The husband would be 25, the wife would be 24, 23, and the children would be, of an age appropriate for a marriage of that type. But their children were taken away as well, because the CPS was saying that by virtue of belonging to this community, they were somehow inculpated in whatever supposed crimes were going on at the YFC community. And as this, as the CPS has been busy building these parenting plans, these children have been scattered to the four winds in Texas. Texas is a state the size of a small continent. And so, given the fact that these parents are geographically separated from children and not permitted to be near their children, and also given the fact that you're talking about gas prices going up over $4 a gallon, and heavenly knows how high they're going to climb, it would become economically impossible for these parents to carry out the parenting plans. And they don't even know what those plans are going to entail. There's a one-size-fits-all template that assumes that they're all abusers right now. These plans will be customized to each couple, each parent, as the process continues. But the first thing they would have to do as a condition of ever seeing their children again would be to admit to some unspecified crime of abuse. That's what they're trying to extract from these parents through the crude instrument of outright blackmail involving their children. If you want to see your children again, you've got to admit that you abused them in some way. And the other thing that's become clear is that the other thing that's going to be required of them is a repudiation of their religious beliefs, because their religious beliefs are seen as prima facie evidence of their status as abusers. So, using the instrument of blackmail, they seize the kids, first of all, in order to facilitate this, I believe. They seize the kids. They tell the parents that they want to see the kids again. They're going to have to allocute to crimes that the specifics of which are going to be entered into the record later. The other thing they're going to have to do is repudiate the religious beliefs that have defined their lives for decades. And this is all going on at a time when you now have an appeals court on record saying that there was no legal justification for the seizure of these children. In spite of that fact that the appeals court is not going to require that the CPS give the children back. So every tick of the clock, every minute, every hour that goes by, every day that passes, every week that is erased from the calendar represents a victory for this insidious and criminal strategy. Every minute these children are allowed to remain in the hands of their kidnappers represents another increment of agony being heaped upon the heads of these innocent parents, innocent in the eyes of the law now. They always have been, and they'll never be proven guilty of anything, because this is probably never going to reach the stage of a criminal trial. And this is how the CPS system is historically operated. It's never been so brazen, so vulgar, and so ambitious before. And the other thing that I have to add to this picture that really infuriates me is that as the costs accumulate here, we're already talking about an operation that's going to cost something in excess of $21 million, probably several multiples of that by the time we're finished. As the costs accumulate, people in the legislature are now talking about the idea of seizing the economic and property assets of the FLDS Church to pay for the operation that resulted in the abduction of these children. Now, I grant there's a certain perverse logic to this. I mean, this is the same logic you find, for instance, in the records of communist Ethiopia in the 1980s when the firing squads were running day and night, and the parents would receive a bill to pay for the ammunition used to kill their loved ones. It's the same type of logic that you get from any collectivist system. Obviously, in order to do these good things, the state has to extract the costs out of the wealth and out of the very persons, if you will, of the people upon whom these things are, or to whom these things are being done. But if you just take a look at this, step back and take a look at this and understand how, in principle, this differs only slightly from the way that really ugly collectivist regimes abroad have operated. It would hopefully leave the observer in a state of a very useful disgust over what our country has become. And I don't think there's anywhere near enough outrage over this. I've been doing my level best to cultivate what outrage I can, and I'm gratified to find that every time I take a look at what other people are writing on the Internet, and if I go to the major newspapers and look at the comment threads, at least some of the points I'm making are being made by many, many people across the country. There are, I believe, millions of people who are paying attention to this. And in spite of the fact that you're not hearing about their point of view on television or in the radio, discussion programs, or seeing it reflected in the writings of the major newspapers, that there is a really useful escalation of public outrage and disgust over what has happened. And I noticed today that there was a great deal of approval and triumph and satisfaction on the part of many people that at least some court in Texas was willing to point out for the record that this is entirely illegal. So as I said, it's an ambiguous victory and a potentially a hollow one, but at least now we have it on record that the CPS has acted without legal authority in doing something that any decent person would have to call kidnapping over 450 innocent children.
Well, I think it's tragic if they're going to get away with this, and even if they have to give the children back traumatized or sexually abused, nobody is going to be held responsible. And I think, of course, the judge who actually issued the warrant should be disbarred, and I think that we should start talking about going after these people, making their lives miserable. Everybody should scorn them and deal with them for what they really are.
That's exactly the point that I've been trying to make, is that there are types of retribution here that don't require official sanction, and one of them is if you find out where these people live, the neighborhoods they live, let people know in those neighborhoods what those folks have done. You know, make them the subject of organized obloquy. These people really, in medieval times, they're the sort of folks who really should have been hauled out into the public square and then locked up in stocks and pelted with dead cats and rotten fruit. I mean, these are people who should, through the instrument of social ostracism, be made notorious. They should become a reek in the nostrils of the society, of the cultures and neighborhoods they live in. And that's something that would be very useful. And then you've got to think that there've got to be ways of getting to certain key decision makers here. I mean, a lot of the cast of characters we're dealing with here were involved in the 1993 immolation of the Waco Branch Davidians. You had exactly the same circumstances here, where you had an isolated, cultic, fringe religious group that was eccentric but harmless, where there were allegations of polygamy and rampant child abuse and underage marriages, and the entire indictment, the entire bill of particulars that we're hearing recited here with respect to the FLDS, and because there was a firearms angle to this, you ended up with the ATF making the initial strike. We all know what happened, but the children who were let out of the Branch Davidian sanctuary in 1993 ended up in the hands of the CPS, and Bruce D. Perry and Merlay Meisner and many of these other people were doing the same things 15 years ago that they're doing today, and they just go from catastrophe to catastrophe, sowing misery and, in many instances, death and violence, and they seem to be completely above accountability. But there's got to be some way, through some creative use of tort law, in order to make their lives at least somewhat miserable.
Well, you know, here in California,
not molested in that respect.
Here in California, why they have laws that if you're a child molester, of course, everybody's going to know where you live, and
yeah,
your life is going to be miserable. And, of course, a lot of the child molesters, even after their term in prison is up, can't get out of prison because they have no place to live, and the people are objecting to that. Maybe we ought to do that with some of these people from the child abuse industry who are actually doing physical and psychological harm to children and seem to be enjoying it.
We should put together a private child snatcher registry.
Right. I mean, I think that those people's names, maybe not their addresses, but those people's names should be posted someplace. And, of course, people should let them know exactly where they are and what they have done, and that they have to be held responsible, because if the good people won't take action, well, you can be sure that the evil people will.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Well, we're just about out of time. Again, Chris, do you want to tell our listeners how to get to your blog?
Go to freedominourtime.blogspot.com. or to rightsourceonline.com. If you go to rightsourceonline.com, just scroll down about a third of the way through the page, look at the left-hand side of the screen, you'll find my photograph. From there, it's an easy thing to find my blog.
God bless. We'll talk to you, I guess, tomorrow evening. Thanks very much, William.
Thank you. God bless.
Bye-bye.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll-free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
Now you can upgrade your existing gravity filter to remove chemicals such as triomethylenes, atrazine, benzene, chlorine, chloroform, and MTBE to below detectable limits. Black Berkey elements are so powerful, they remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and transform water, even raw, stagnant pond water, into delicious, crystal-clear drinking water. Nitrates, nitrites, radon-222, unwanted heavy metals like lead, mercury, and aluminum are no problem. Foul tastes like chlorine and obnoxious sulfur odors are removed without removing the healthful and beneficial minerals that your body needs. Black Berkey elements flow 1.5 to 2 times faster than ordinary gravity elements, which means it takes much less time to filter your water. Supercharge your gravity filter today. Upgrade to Black Berkey purification elements.
Get a 2-pack, only $99, or a 4-pack, only $188. Call New Millennium, 888-803-4438. That's 888-803-4438, or order on the web at berkeywater.com.
Prepare for an uncertain future with DVDs from the winner of 13 Telly Awards. Hood's Woods is the world leader in survival instructional videos. Hood's Woods produces an outstanding collection of survival DVDs, from cave cooking to survival basics to home survival DVDs, covering topics such as food storage and home emergency planning. You will learn survival techniques for use in the wild and in your very own home, used by scouts, the military, and families around the world. If you would like to learn more about survival, trapping, cave cooking, navigation, tracking, desert survival, and much more, visit survival.com and browse through the largest assortment of survival DVDs online. For the low price of only $19.95 each, you can also purchase the entire 24-DVD Hood's Woods collection by going to survival.com. To place your order or to request a free catalog, call 888-257-2847. That's 888-257-2847. Or visit us online at survival.com. That's survival.com, the world leader in survival instructional videos.
Well, Dr. Stan back here at the Genesis Communication Network, and of course they can take away those the children, the over 400 children from this peaceful group, why they can of course take away your children as well. Would you like to know what really happened at Waco? Would you like to hear testimony, interviews with civilians who were told by the members of the Special Forces team that was sent in who killed the women and children at Waco? Well, we carry a DVD. It's called Waco, A New Revelation. Waco, A New Revelation, because we must never forget what really happened there. Waco, A New Revelation is available by calling 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV. More. And then, of course, it's 800-544-8927, 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-5-HIV. More. And then, of course, if you'd like to know how they killed Martin Luther King, you need to get the four CD set, The Execution of Martin Luther King, along with a book which is written by a family that was employed by Martin Luther King's family. In other words, the Martin Luther King family employed William Pepper to represent them at the trial. You've never heard about the trial, of course, because the media is controlled. But, of course, the jury found that the government was responsible for the murder of Martin Luther King. How could you cover up something like that in America? Why, we have freedom of the press. That means if you own the press, you have the freedom to suppress whatever you want to. And that's exactly what happened. The book is called An Affair of State. An Affair of State, the four tape or four CD set, they're both available by calling 1-800-544-8927. Do you want to understand the wars of the last century and how they were all unnecessary? They were all certainly carried out to bring about this idea of the world government by the elite. Well, of course, that's Iraq, the Untold Story, or the counterpart of it, War, the Untold Story. They're both exactly the same talk, but the syllabus that goes with it is so important. It's called Iraq, the Untold Story. You need to get that. You need to understand to be able to point out that they killed all those people. The boys who went to Vietnam were never allowed to win the war. They weren't sent there to win the war. They were sent there to fight and bleed and suffer and die, but never be allowed to win. It was a wonderful distraction, just exactly what's going on in Iraq today. Of course, if you'd like, of course, to understand how we supported the communists all during the Vietnam War, and we financed the Russians, who financed the North Vietnamese, who financed the Viet Cong, you need to get my pamphlet entitled The Communist-Capitalist Alliance. That's the Communist-Capitalist Alliance. You need to get my DVD interview with Professor Sutton. The best enemies money could buy. The best enemies money could buy. It's available on DVD or on video. But you need to have that information at your fingertips. You want to know how the CIA and the State Department brought Fidel Castro to power. So that, of course, we could send those boys into the Bay of Pigs to die, because we promised them air cover, we promised them, supplies. And we never intended that. They were sent there to die. It was simply another no-win war, like Korea and Vietnam and what's going on in Iraq and Afghanistan today. Do you realize we've been in Afghanistan almost 7 years? We've been in Iraq over 3 years, pardon me, over 5 years today. We never talk about that, do we? a no-win war. And if you doubt that, you need, of course, to get my go open my webpage of RadioLiberty.com. That's RadioLiberty.com. And pull down my December 2007 newsletter. That's December 2007. The speech that was given by Lieutenant General Ricardo Sanchez, who commanded the coalition forces, all of the military forces in Iraq from June of 2003 to June of 2004, and he'll tell you, we weren't allowed to win. We weren't allowed to win then. We're not being allowed to win now. The war is going to go on forever because it's not being fought for any of the purposes that you've been told. Our number, 1-800-544-8927.